Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. We are here live tonight. We're glad that you are with us. 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. I hope you people are all doing well. These are very tough times. This coronavirus thing, COVID-19, it is kicking our butts, isn't it? Well, hopefully tonight we're going to give you a break from the depressing nonstop news, and we're going to brighten your day with my guest, who is, in fact, a breath of fresh air. He is a terrific guest. He was here about a year ago. He was scheduled to be here right when the coronavirus thing broke up, and, of course, we didn't do it. But Dr. Chadwick Hampton is here, and I can't tell you how excited I am to be here. So let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon who specializes in adult reconstruction, joint replacement, joint preservation of the hip, the knee, and the shoulder. He's a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and a fellow of the American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons. His surgical focus is adult reconstruction and joint replacement and includes a full spectrum of primary, complex, and revision joint replacement of the hip and knee. He's adept at minimally invasive, muscle-sparing mini posterior and anterior hip replacement, and those help promote faster recovery. He incorporates all the latest technology, including robotic-assisted surgery, computer navigation, and patient-specific instruments to ensure improved accuracy and results. He also specializes in joint preservation surgery of the hip, knee, and shoulder to include sports medicine and femoral osteotomy and osteoplasty, and he's laughing at me as I start to screw up what he's so good at. But anyway, Dr. Hampton is a graduate of Clark Atlantic University, received his medical degree from Howard University College of Medicine. As an officer in the U.S. Army, he completed his orthopedic residency at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. He attended the prestigious Adult Reconstruction and Joint Replacement Fellowship at the Hospital for Special Surgery, the Weill Medical College at Cornell University in New York City. He served as an assistant professor at the Uniformed Services University, and he's on the academic staff at Weill Medical College at Cornell University. Welcome back, Doctor. How are you tonight?
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I really am excited to have you here because I know a lot of people, are kind of confused about the general state of medical care that is not 100% all-time COVID every minute, every day, right? There's other medical needs going on, and as an orthopedic surgeon, you were impacted in ways that perhaps nobody fully understands. So while COVID doesn't have a direct impact on what you do, maybe it does?
Yes, it definitely has an impact on what I do and my profession and on the patient population that I take care of. So March 16th was my last day operating, doing elective procedures. So pretty much as a hip and knee replacement surgeon or a sports medicine surgeon, most of my procedures are elective. The injury has happened months ago, or we're dealing with chronic arthritis or chronic pain in the hip and knee. So you've been dealing with this for months, possibly even years. So the surgeries that I perform are considered elective. It's not your heart, liver, or lungs. These are not vital organs that we're doing. I'm a functional quality of life type surgeon. Get back to the level of function and quality of life that you want to live. So in that aspect, we were asked to shut down elective procedures, not only my practice or my group of professions in terms of orthopedists, but basically anyone that's doing that type of or which would be considered elective. So for about 7 weeks, I did mostly fracture work. So patients that were coming into the emergency room after some type of a trauma. And then since we have gotten back, that was at the beginning of May, the hospitals that I currently on staff at Jupiter Medical Center and Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, we started operating electively in the beginning of May. allowing some patients to come in with a family member, but the family member was not allowed to stay. So you had to come in, get tested. There were strict guidelines and protocol coming in. If you had a positive test, obviously you were had to self-quarantine and following the standard CDC guidelines. But it's definitely been a challenge.
So, and I guess, you know, that brings up a whole host of things. While what you do is often considered elective, if the quality of life is impacted, it really isn't elective. So there's elective, there's essential, there's emergency, right? These are all different. So what has been the impact on your patients who struggle with the problems? You know, my wife had knee replacement surgery, right? She had knee replacement surgery.
Has she done well with that?
Yeah, she's done really well.
Good.
And we'll talk to you about it. But anyway, the point I would make is that while that may have seemed elective, the truth is she was virtually immobile prior to that. And I don't think waiting 3 months to get online again was something that would have been even in the realm of possibility, right?
Not for quality of life. I understand. Elective is semantics, or essential. We're talking semantics. And is it what's elective for you or for her? It's about your pain level. It's about your quality of life. What is that pain taken away from you in your life that you're unable to do? And now I have to wait another 3 or 4 months prior. So I'll give you an example of a couple patients of mine, but one patient of mine, we'll call her Mrs. P, and she basically was scheduled on the 20-something of March. So the next week, following week after the shutdown happened of elective surgeries. So she came back in and gave her a steroid injection in the meantime. So that at that point, that buys her 90 days, because after you inject a steroid into the joint, you don't want to perform a hip replacement or a knee replacement surgery. So, and then she immediately said, "Well, doc, I hate to ask, but you know, this is just killing me. Is there anything else you can give me?" And basically, she has been maxed out on all other non-narcotic or non-opioid medications. That was the only level to go to. So basically, this woman, instead of getting her procedure that she was already signed up for and had scheduled, already went all through all the pre-op and everything, instead had to cancel that and started opioid medication to try to deal with the pain until she's able or reasonable in terms of her health, in terms of maybe her anxiety after the virus, or what have you, until she wants to actually proceed with it. So that's just one example in my practice. There's many out there. There's actually a couple studies in our current Journal of Arthroplasty section that put out a COVID-19 like supplement update. One of them was talking about how the anxiety, about 88% of patients in this study, small sample size, but still high percentage, had some anxiety and some reason for delaying their care, specifically when these were patients that were already on the books for hip or knee replacement.
So the law of unintended consequences, people lose their insurance, they start to over-medicate, they've lost their job, they're afraid to now go to the hospital, right? I know I'm going to talk more about that next week, actually. People are afraid to go to the hospital. They're certainly terrified of going through the emergency room. A couple of questions. One, is all that true? Is all that necessary? Three, is it changing? And four, are those fears justified?
That's a complicated question. So let's break that down. Let's take the first set. Yes, it's multifactorial. Yes, I would agree with the economic aspect. I've definitely had patients that have lost their insurance because they lost their job. They got furloughed or what have you. So they lost their insurance. Or it's a social economic issue, is now their caregiver or the person that they were going to be helping him recover in the aftermath of the knee replacement or the hip replacement, whatever surgery we're talking about, is at risk for the virus. So that we don't want to put them at higher risk because they have some underlying condition, what have you. or they don't want to go to rehab and they don't have anyone else available. Rehab is one of the higher instances or incidents and findings of the COVID-19 virus, especially in Florida. So they don't want to go to a rehab. So in terms of socially, they don't have anyone to help them recover afterwards. So then now they're delaying because their plan was to go to rehab prior to this. Now they don't want to go. So all these concerns are valid concerns, and it's hard to tell someone that their concern about this virus isn't valid. We really just don't know.
Right.
We don't have enough information. We don't have enough valid data points. So that's part of the problem.
But now you're back. You're in the ER, in the OR. All right. You are operating again, and not just emergencies. People are still afraid to go to the hospital, and that's another reason they're postponing this. And I guess the question I would have for you is, should they be, or are you finding that the fears are exaggerated or real?
That's a hard question to answer, because again, we just don't know. Bottom line is, you are putting yourself at risk. Most of my patient population are the patient population is at risk, over 60, for what I do in orthopedics, hip and knee replacement, adult reconstruction surgeon. So you have to weigh the benefit and the risk. What I would say, if you don't have any, you're overall healthy, and you've been dealing with this pain, it's debilitating, it's changed your life, it's taken over something in your life, or it's taken something away from you that you love to do, and you don't want to take narcotic medication and keep delaying this, then I think the risk benefit outweighs the risk. However, I mean, every person has to kind of make that decision. Now we are taking major precautions. Everyone, all the healthcare providers are getting screened. So we have instituted many different processes and best practices to try to keep everyone safe. In terms of doing elective procedures, if you're COVID positive, you come in and get tested prior in the pre-op. If you're positive, obviously you're supposed to self-quarantine and you get canceled. Only emergent cases with positive COVID tests are going forward. Again, another study out of the Journal of Arthroplasty put out recently doesn't recommend, obviously, elective surgery with a positive COVID test. So they're not recommending hip and knee arthroplasty if you're COVID positive. Obviously, only emergencies. So should you be concerned? Yes. Should you be concerned enough that you should say, no, I'm not having surgery? Not necessarily. Every person, every situation is different.
And you know, I didn't even think about it. All the staff's being, we keep thinking of the patients being tested, but the staff's got to be tested too.
It's right.
Really, that's really fascinating. So your practice specializes hips and knees, shoulders, but hips and knees. And you're out of Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. Are things kind of back to normal in terms of the operating process?
No. Yeah. So, for example, I lost two patients today two patients that were scheduled for surgery today. Today's Monday's my operating day, tested positive and were bumped off the schedule in our screening. So we instituted the standard protocol. So I went down from 5 cases to 3 cases. So my volume is definitely down. I've been losing a case for something every week, either a positive COVID test, someone in their family was positive COVID test, a fever, so they ended up getting screened, and the patient just maybe got a little anxiety, so they canceled the surgery. So my volume's down. Definitely the volume in general in the hospital is down. Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center is a big heart hospital. The heart volume's definitely down in general. There are fewer patients in the hospital in general. And I think this is kind of going across boundaries in the hospital. People are just kind of afraid to go get elective, quote, and, you know, air quotes, elective cases and procedures done right now. And their concerns are valid, even though, you know, previously stated, we're following all the CDC guidelines. We are back operating. I did two hips and one knee today. Everything went well. We're doing our standard PPE precautions, personal protective equipment precautions. So we're working and we're back and we're doing it safely. So that's one of the messages that we want to get out there to the community also, is that you can get your elective procedures done, not in just orthopedics. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, hip and knee replacement doc, but your cardiologist, he's working. She's working. Your urologist, she's working. So, yes, there is a concern. However, you have to weigh your risk and benefits, and each patient should be, addressed appropriately, and not a blanket statement is, it's just not safe right now to have elective procedures, because that's just not the case.
And I want to talk more about that, and I want to talk about the type of procedures you're doing. I want to talk about the robotic surgery, because your robotic surgery is a little different than what most people believe it is. So I want to get to that. You did say something just then, though, that and we didn't talk about this, and if it's the wrong question, then just tell me. but if somebody who is scheduled for surgery comes in, tests positive, do they get sent home, or do they go into the hospital, or does it matter if they're symptomatic or not symptomatic?
Everything matters, but in terms of, in general, you come in and say you're going to have surgery scheduled today, Monday, June 22nd. So these patients came in on Wednesday or Thursday of last week to the hospital and got screened. They did their standard preoperative testing, but now they're also getting COVID testing. So that COVID test comes back positive. We call them over on Friday on the weekend and say, hey, you were positive for COVID. Do you have any symptoms? Blah, blah, blah. There's a standard
questionnaire
that you're supposed to give.
Which we're all getting accustomed to.
And if you hit enough of the check boxes, you'll say, yeah, maybe you should go see your primary care doctor. If not, just self-quarantine. You and your family need to self-quarantine for 14 days, and that's it, if you're asymptomatic.
Right. So you're an orthopedic surgeon, and we need to keep stressing that, because we're here to talk about orthopedic surgery, and we want to do that. Is there one thing that take somebody from elective, I should do this, I want to do this, to like, I have to do this? What's the dividing line there?
In terms for what I do, I wouldn't say you. There is really that breaking point for every person, but you'll know. So when I talk to patients about knee hip replacement, we've been doing injections and we've been doing the non-op stuff for years or months already. And I always tell them, so I don't have to persuade you to have knee or hip replacement. You're going to come asking for it one day.
Right.
One day you're going to be tired of what your knee or what your hip feels like every morning, or tired of having to do fill in the blank prior to going on your bike ride, or having to pop whatever pills or whatever exercises or whatever your routine has become prior to using your knee or your hip, or you're tired of delaying trips or delaying activities with your grandkids or your kids, what have you, and you're just tired, and that's the key.
No, I think that's tired. A good point, right? You just can't live like this. You just can't live like this anymore. Right?
My function is too important, and my quality of life has gone down to a level that's unacceptable to me.
Right.
That's when you're ready. And for everybody that's different, for some people that's different. So some people that's 6 months and I don't want to get injections anymore. I'm not interested in getting injections. I want a more definitive solution. For other people, that's 5 years and I just don't want surgery. Let's do anything to not have surgery. So that's a decision everybody has to make for themselves. But I kind of implore patients now to not wait until you've lost 2 or 3 years of your life not doing anything because of pain, just because you might have had some fears or maybe have been afraid of the surgery.
And that's a perfect lead into what we're going to talk about as soon as we come back. If you're just tuning in, it's me, Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with one of my favorite people. Dr. Chadwick Hampton is here. Dr. Hampton is a noted orthopedic surgeon specializing in hips and knees, particularly with robotic surgery. We kind of just have laid it up. We're going to talk about what is surgery like, what are the repercussions and the aftermath and recovery. We have a whole lot to talk about in terms of what his special skills are and how they can improve the quality of your life. Of course, if you have questions for Dr. Hampton or for myself, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm so glad that you're with us here live tonight, 95.9 True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. I'm here tonight with Dr. Chadwick Hampton. Dr. Hampton is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in knees and hips, reconstructive surgery, replacement, robotic surgery. He really is unique in the world of nips, knees and hips. Oh, God, it's a long day. But anyway, I'm here with Dr. Hampton, and he's a wonderful guy. He was scheduled right before the virus hit, and but he's been gracious enough to come into the studio. So we are together here live in the studio, and I couldn't be happier. Dr. Hampton, you know, we talked about the coronavirus impacted hospitalizations, elective surgery, essential surgery, emergency surgery. All of those things are really critical. But let's talk about surgery. Now you've decided that you can't live this way anymore. It's time for to take the plunge to do a hip or knee replacement. There are lots of options, aren't there?
There's a lot of options out there. Yes, for specifically for a knee replacement surgery, one of the things that I do is perform a robotic-assisted hip and knee replacement surgery, but we'll focus on the knee first. The Navio surgical system is a platform, a surgical platform that Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center has, and also their one of their sister hospitals, Del Rey Tenet Facility. They just also acquired the technology. But basically, it's a platform that performs total knee and partial knee replacement surgery with assistance, robotic assistance. So the surgeon still is doing the procedure. The surgeon still plans the procedure. The surgeon still can make errors in the procedure or not. But however, once you come up with a plan that you want to provide for this patient in terms of a partial or a total and all the angles and the cuts that you want to make, the robot won't let you veer from that plan. So you can think of it as almost like a force field or a bubble that's almost created, for lack of a better terminology. Once that plan is in motion, the robot won't let you veer for it, so you'll get exactly what you planned every single time. And it allows earlier, less blood loss, allows you to do the same procedure, kind of taking or causing less trauma to the patient, doing the same procedure, either partial or total knee replacement, which ends up being less blood loss, less pain, earlier function. So the early studies, 6 to 8 week studies, have shown earlier function or early return to pre-injury or pre-surgery level of function compared to non-robotic assisted knee replacement. The long-term studies still need to be elucidated. That's 5 and 10 years. We're not quite sure yet if it's actually going to be better. But earlier on, it is returning you to pre-surgery levels of function quicker.
So in that brings up a couple of questions. One, partial versus full, you know, why would you do one? Why would you do partial if there was full? And then two, is everybody eligible for robotic surgery or is not everybody?
Yes. All right. So I'll take the second question first. Yes, everyone's eligible. It is not, it's a technique. It's a item that you're using or utilizing to help you perform the same procedure that you've been performing, which is a knee replacement or a partial knee replacement. We've been doing this using standard external or internal jigs and cutting blocks for years. This is just a different way to do the same thing. So everyone's a candidate. In terms of the first question, partial versus total, you can think of a knee as a house with three rooms. So you have the patellofemoral joint or the kneecap room, the medial room or the inside of the knee, or in the lateral room or the outside of the knee. And all those knees talk, all those rooms talk. So they're all intertwined. So you can need to remodel one room, two rooms, or all three of the rooms. If you need to remodel one of the rooms, you're a candidate for a partial. So you're only going to take the bad cartilage and the bad arthritic bone in that compartment and leave the good cartilage alone because it's still functioning appropriately. If you have two compartments out of the three, in terms of in my practice, I recommend a total. And if you have three compartments that need remodeling, I recommend a total. So I kind of, that's my analogy I use. The knee is kind of a house with three rooms.
So, but again, the preparation is really kind of before you actually open up somebody, right? I mean, that's really where your prep comes in, and it slows you down at the front end, but helps you back
well,
on the back end.
This is different. So traditionally, I do what's called preoperative planning. I look at your X-rays, and I determine if you may or may not have a deformity. I look at some angles. I measure the cuts that I want to make on your x-ray preoperatively. So I preoperatively plan and kind of run through your surgery in my head before we get into the operating room. With the robotic-assisted technology, I still take those x-rays, but I don't use them in that way. I actually do all my planning real-time, live, in the operating room. So we place sensors, basically, on the leg, a little bit below the knee and a little bit above the knee. And those sensors can be seen by a camera, basically. It's the eye of the robot, but basically it's a camera. And those sensors can basically tell the robot where the knee is in space. So now, after I make my incision and open up, we're starting the case, I basically create a 3D model of your specific personal anatomy. So I'm creating your anatomy on the screen in 3D. Once I've done that, I can overlay the implants real time on the screen and plan your case. So I can plan the size 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can plan the angles, angle 5 degrees here, 4 here, right, millimeter here, right, that. So I can plan all of that on the screen, and then I can plan all my cuts. I can look at my cuts in 3D, spin it all the way around. And then once I complete all my planning, my balancing of the knee, then I press go. And once I press go, now the robot technology really kicks in terms of not allowing me to veer from my plan, and I will get exactly what I planned precisely to
which
some millimeter level.
Which is why the outcomes are so much better, right?
Precisely.
Right. So if you just tuned in, Scott Greenberg, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Chadwick Hampton. And as you can see, he's very passionate about what he does, which is knee and hip replacement or surgery. It's not always replacement. He does other things besides replacement. He's really good at what he does, and he's very passionate about quality of care. And since as we age, a lot of my audience has a lot of knee and hip trouble. So this is a timely topic. If you have questions for Dr. Hampton, the good news is that you can call him at 1-877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here tonight with Dr. Chadwick Hampton, orthopedic surgeon specializing in hips and knees, particularly robotic surgery. We do have a caller on the line. I'm going to go right to Donna, who called in. Donna, welcome to the show. You have a question for Dr. Hampton?
Thank you. Yes, I'm a patient of yours, Dr. Hampton.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. I haven't been in to see you, but I do have to make an appointment.
Great.
My question is, I'd like to talk, if I can, to Scott after the show for just a minute, because I don't want to say anything on the air. But my question is, I had a knee replacement surgery with you, okay? And you're an excellent doctor, and you're a wonderful guy. And my question is, I had a lot of problems with the pain, which isn't, you know, obviously your fault. But now if you do the robotic, like, say, on the other knee, does that help with the pain, or does it make it any better, or you know what I'm saying?
Earlier on, some of the studies do demonstrate that you can have less pain in the earlier postoperative recovery period, the first 6 to 8 weeks time. At 2 to 5 years, we don't really know if the robotic procedure is actually better or superior to traditional techniques. But earlier on, it has shown to be superior in terms of less pain relief and in earlier functional recovery.
Really? So if I had to have the other knee done, hopefully it'll be with less pain, correct?
That would be the goal, yes, ma'am.
Donna, I'm going to give you my cell phone number so that you can call me anytime that you like, okay? And I can answer your question, okay? So my cell phone is 561-706.
Wait, you're faster than me.
Okay, I'll wait for you. And I'll tell you a little thing about pain while you're getting a pencil, because interesting, because my wife had a knee replacement surgery. And
right, I heard that, and I've been waiting to hear with Dr. Hampton since the coronavirus all started.
Right. Yeah, well,
I heard him the last time when he was on.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Anyway, she had knee replacement surgery, and she had seriously virtually no pain at all.
That's
We went out to, when I say no pain, I mean no pain. She never took a pain pill, not one time.
That's
once
amazing.
She left the hospital. But the other half of this story is we went out to eat about a week after her surgery, which she hobbled into our favorite sushi place. And somebody came over, asked her how she was, because we're there all the time, they knew. And we said she was doing great and she had no pain. And the woman next to us had knee replacement a year and a half earlier, and she was still on opioids, and she couldn't believe what a different experience it was. And it really had nothing to do with anything other than her tolerance for pain and how she reacted to it. So it's just really interesting. Pain's an interesting thing. But anyway, here's my number, Donna, 561-706-5157. You can call me tomorrow if you want. I'm happy to talk to you. If you want to call me for a quick call after the show, you can. Or call me tomorrow. Okay. I'm around. Okay?
That's just a quick one. So
no worries.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling. Take care. So, yes, I'm here with Dr. Chadwick Hampton, who, as I said, is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hips and knees. And he is specializing particularly in the Navio robotic process, which we didn't even talk about this in preparation for tonight. A lot of people, Navio's kind of different than the traditional, the name went out of my head for the traditional robotic surgery device.
The first device on the market was called the Stryker Mako,
right?
Robotic knee and hip system. So I think that's the one you're referring to, Mako Robotics.
Yeah.
This is the second one on the market, and the Navio system. The company is Smith & Nephew, which produces this technology. And then actually Zimmer Biomet just came out with a robotic platform also called the ROSA. robotic platform system. So now there's three specifically for hip and knee replacement on the market right now.
And they are specific to knee because I had bladder surgery and I had robotics, but it wasn't any of those.
Correct.
Right?
That is the Da Vinci, robot, which is in, I think, third or fourth generation currently, which is that's pretty much the standard of care urologic prosthetics surgery at this point. It's kind of the standard of care. There is one of my urology, mentors when I was in medical school, told a story of one of the first urologists that was using the Da Vinci robot, and they called him a quack, that he was crazy, that, you know, you can't do this, blah, 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 all of that stuff. Today is the standard of care, and if you're not using it, you're behind. That just goes to show the technology, either you're going to, you know, keep up with it or it's going to pass you by. So
right. And it must be hard. We could talk about that as soon as we come back. I'm here tonight with Dr. Chadwick Hampton, and I, of course, am Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We're live again now the coronavirus was starting to abate. But anyway, we are here in the studio tonight with Dr. Hampton. If you have questions for Dr. Hampton, as Donna did, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. It's Monday night, and we're live here on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. I'm here tonight with Dr. Chadwick Hampton. He is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hips and knees. And you know, Dr. Hampton, it dawned on me when Donna called that I gave her my number, but I haven't given her your number. So how do people reach you? And then I have another caller that I'm going to go to as soon as we finish. So how do people reach you? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's come back to that, and let me talk to Catherine first, who's on the phone. Catherine, you have a question for Dr. Hampton?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say hi. I'm actually a patient of his.
Good.
I'm looking forward to seeing him on Friday.
He looks like he's excited to see you, too.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, well, I'm doing good. I'm interested in what you said, you know, because I think it's very true for me that, you know, you just suffer and then you work through it. And, you know, I had a death in the family. I was taking care of my father. So after he passed, and I said, well, I got to get this done. But unfortunately, my timing was completely off because we were supposed to meet in April, early April. We had to cancel everything. We rescheduled for May, and then I'm a very interesting case because I'm completely asymptomatic, but I went up to Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center and my test came back positive. So, I mean, that was a total shock. So I quarantined, I went back, got another test. I'm negative, thank God. And, I guess my question is there any likelihood that I'm going to test positive again when I go back up there or once I licked it? I mean, I don't even know if I had it because I've never been symptomatic.
There is a possibility. So that question is a little bit out of my realm of expertise as an orthopedic surgeon. That's more for an epidemiologist. However, the information that I do know is that you can be an asymptomatic carrier. Supposedly that makes you less communicable, so you can't transmit it. At a higher mm-hmm. rate at that if that is your presentation. Totally the answer is yes, it is possible that you could test positive again. And if that were to happen, what we would do is, again, it would be a 14-day quarantine, and we would just reschedule. I had that happen to two patients today, actually. That actually got tested in their pre-op appointment last week, came back positive on Saturday. I got the call, and then we reached out to the patients and followed the CDC guidelines and everything. But it can happen. One of the things that we're trying to get out there in the community is that there's not necessarily a reason to be totally afraid. There's a reason to be concerned and a heightened mm-hmm. vigilance. But it's not right. necessarily a reason to say, no, I'm not going to have surgery. Because you're an example of one of the people that we're talking about that have been delayed, that have a risk mm-hmm. of chance of, starting another route that we don't want to go down in terms of the opioid route,
right.
In terms of just right. managing pain. You're one of the patients that we're talking about, and that the study that I mentioned is exactly talking about you.
Right.
And I'm going to wish you good luck. But I will tell you from my experience, because I'm in the healthcare field, people who were positive, who then test negative, don't typically test positive again. Okay. So I have a good feeling about you. You're going to do great. You're going to see Dr. Hampton, and you're going to feel a whole lot better after you do. Oh, I wish you the best of
absolutely.
Luck. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Have a good night. See you on Friday. Us.
Thank you. So, Dr. Hampton, so apparently you're a pretty popular guy.
Apparently, yeah.
So how do more people get to know you? How do they meet you? How do they reach you?
So I have a website. You can go to my website at hamptonhipandknee.com. That's www.hamptonhipandknee.com. You can also go to my group's website is floridaorthocare.com. So FLOrthocare.com. You can also find me on the social media platforms, Facebook at Palm Beach Joint Replacement, on Instagram. I'm at Chadwick Hampton, MD underscore PBJR. And on Twitter, at Palm Beach PBJR. So that's where you can find me. Most of this information is on my website. There's videos, instructional videos, patient information, all of my locations. We have two offices, one in Palm Beach Gardens, right across from Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center on Burns Road. We also have a location that I see patients in Wellington off State Road 7.
And you have a phone number they can call to make an appointment.
Correct, right? Correct. Yeah, phone number is 561-588-9912. That's the main intake office. And then also you could call the main office at 561-327-9116. Again, and you can always email us too at teamhampton@florthocare.com.
Terrific. And we'll give you that phone number again before the show is over for those of you who didn't write it down. So, with the calls, I can't get to half of the things I wanted to get to tonight. So we're going to have you back again, which I'm excited about.
All right.
But talk to me about anterior versus posterior incisions. People get asked that question all the time. I mean, I get asked that question. I'm sure you'd really get that all the
time. Okay. Yeah. So
is there a difference?
A good transition out of the knee to the hip. So now we're talking about total hip replacement and the approach of the incision, of how you perform the procedure. Traditionally, a posterior approach was made through a big incision used for trauma, for people that had pelvic fractures or fractures of the cup side of the joint, when you're talking about the hip, ball, and socket joint. So it's been modified to a mini posterior, and traditionally that's been the bread and butter or the workhorse for hip replacement. That and the direct lateral approach. Pros is very well known. It's very reproducible. Low complication rate. However, there has been some issues with dislocation. That's specifically the complication that posterior approach has been known to be a little bit higher percentage. The anterior approach is just the muscle or the direction of how you're getting to the hip. You're still performing the same procedure, it's still a hip replacement, but you're going anterior and between internervous planes, so a muscle sparing approach that you're kind of weaving between the muscles instead of taking them down and repairing them, which you do traditionally with the posterior approach. Pros and cons in general, the media will tell you, or what you read will tell you, that the anterior approach is better, faster, earlier recovery. That's not necessarily the case. It depends on the surgeon's hands. Yes, the incision may be a little bit smaller, and there is, in some literature that you read, a little bit lower dislocation rate. We're talking maybe 5% versus 3% posterior anterior. So it's lower, but not ridiculously significantly lower. But in terms of in the statistical world, it is lower. However, the complication rate is higher. It's harder to perform. There's higher fracture rate. There's a higher nerve injury rate. There's a lot of other complications if you read the literature too. So they both work well. It depends on your surgeon. So what I say is, if you pick your surgeon, not your approach. So if you like your surgeon and they do posterior, don't go to him or her saying, I want an anterior approach. Do what they offer you, because you pick their surgeon and do what is best in their hands, in his or her hands.
Right.
If they do an anterior approach, then do that. However, I would pick your surgeon, not the approach, because in a posterior approach's hands, surgeon's hands. So if I'm used to doing posterior and you kind of make me do anterior, your complication rate is going to be a lot higher versus
that
someone
sense.
That's doing a lot of them or doing at least 50%. So I do about 50%, maybe not much, maybe about 35% anterior, 65% posterior. Where I trained at a hospital for special surgery is mostly a posterior place, but there's probably five surgeons that do exclusively anterior hips there also.
Well, if you just tuned in, of course, I've been here tonight with Dr. Chadwick Hampton, who is an orthopedic surgeon who clearly is passionate about what he does. And we've been talking about a whole host of things that would be really interesting to you if you missed the beginning of the show. The good news for you is, if you did miss it, you don't have to stay uninformed. You can just, we just podcast the show. Tomorrow we should be up and running. Just search OMG, I'm getting, up will pop. You can listen to this show and to any other show that we've done. I'm sorry. We also, for those who are not podcasters, and not everybody is, we put it up on our website, comfortcare.palmbeach.com. Actually, it's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. I don't know why I typed that incorrectly, but it's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. We're also on iHeartRadio, so you don't have any excuse not to listen to us if you're not home on your regular radio. Just download the iHeartRadio app and search for our True Oldies every Monday night, and we'll be here. We simulcast on the web, TrueOldiesFLA.com, TrueOldiesFLA.com. So wherever you are, around the area, or around the country, or around the world, you can find us. Next week, we're going to be talking to Dr. Corey Harrow, who is the chief medical officer of West Boca Regional Medical Center. And we're going to be talking about some of the things we talked about tonight, but we're going to be much more in depth about what's going on in the emergency room, about how safe you are going to the hospital. We're going to answer all the questions you really have about what treatment is like in the hospital today. Dr. Corey Harrow, as I say, chief medical officer of West Boca Medical Regional Medical Center, and I'm excited to have him as well. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking again about medicine. I will tell you more about that next week. It's going to be a really interesting show. I have a really interesting show coming up at the end of July. I'm going to start to talk about it now. Patrick Franklin's going to be here. He is the president of the Urban League here in Palm Beach County, and I'm excited to have him on the show. And he's going to come in and talk about the community outreach between at-risk youth and our law enforcement, and I'm so excited about doing that show, and we'll do that and much more on that as time unfolds. But in the few minutes I have left with my guest tonight, Dr. Hampton. Dr. Hampton, once again, how do people reach you if they want to reach you?
Sure. We'll go over one more time. My website, www.hamptonhipandknee.com, or you can reach us at teamhampton@florithaorthocare.com, florthocare.com. There's a couple numbers you can reach us, 561-588-9912. And the main office number is 561-327-9116. Again, we have offices in Palm Beach Gardens off of Burns Road, and in Wellington off State Road 7. But most of the information that we talked about tonight and a whole bunch of other information on hip and knee replacement, robotic surgery, and what I do can be found on the website. And we just want to know, let you guys know in the community that we are open for business in terms of the medical community, elective surgery, and don't delay.
Yeah, don't live in pain if you don't have to. There's no need to do that. You're such a wonderful guest. You have a lot of good information. You're very passionate about what you do. Do you have one piece of advice for people who are struggling with pain? Do you have one thing to be thinking about that you would like to recommend?
Well, one thing is home therapy. Home therapy can help. A lot of the patients aren't going to physical therapy right now. Physical therapy surprisingly strengthens your joints around the hip and the knee and the muscles around the hip and the knee that decrease pain. It really can help. And just 5-10 pounds of weight loss can do a lot. If you're living in pain in terms of joint pain, you might not see it on your body, but 5-10 pounds is a massive amount of force going through your knee or your hip. Decreasing that definitely can provide some relief.
I resemble that remark. Dr. Hampton, I can't thank you enough for being here tonight. I know today is surgery day for you, so it's especially hard. I appreciate you coming into the studio. I hope since we didn't get to half of what we wanted to talk about tonight, we'll do it again soon.
We will.
And I look forward to that. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We look forward to you joining us. If you're a new listener, we're thrilled that you joined us. If you're a regular listener, we're glad that you're back, all right? We're excited that you chose us to spend tonight with, and we can't thank you enough. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 on 95.9 True Oldies, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We want you to stay safe. We want you to stay well. We want you to stay healthy. And most important, we want you to come back next week when Dr. Corey Harrell, Chief Medical Officer of West Boca Regional Medical Center. Thank you all. Have a great night. We'll see you next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Good night, all.
Cool.